Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
You know, parents have a lot of things that they need to consider raising their children these days, and there's no more important decision that you can make than what do you do about education. When I was a kid, there really weren't that many choices. There were a few private schools, but the vast majority of students attended public school. That's changed in recent years. School choice has become a thing with new laws and a social movement. In the Freeman home, the education expert that we have is my wife, Marnie, and she's here with me today. Welcome, Marnie.
Thank you. It was fun. And you're the principal of our school.
I was the principal. You were the teacher on most of the subject. I did get education.
Right.
I got driver's ed and a few others. But schooling sure has changed since we were kids. There's an emerging school choice movement, and there's good parts to it and bad parts to it.
Right.
But I've got Americans for Prosperity. I pulled it up. States with School Choice, a comprehensive guide to education freedom in 2026. When you look at that, it says the old one-size-fits-all model is being replaced one state at a time. Traditional American K-12 education model is failing kids by not preparing them to leverage their unique gifts and contribute to society. That's what I loved about what you did with our girls, is you found their bent.
Yes.
What they were leaning towards, and you concentrated their education that way. Not ignoring the classics.
No, absolutely. They actually had a classical
education.
And part of it was classical conversations.
So
it was amazing.
Yeah, classical conversations. I know you're excited. We have the CEO of Classical Conversations coming on Pirate Money Radio today. It is Robert Bortons. His mom invented, I don't know how you describe it, but created this. We've known her for a while. And here, I'm going to read. Built on family, built for families, Classical Conversations, a proven Christian homeschool program created by parents for parents. We do this through a Christ-centered and family-friendly approach to homeschooling that makes everything biblical and hospitable, focused on three simple key areas: classical, Christian, and community. The three C's of education are the home education covers K through four to college credit and includes college degree opportunities for parents as well. We believe that you are the best educator for your student. This is straight from their website, and we make the homeschool journey doable. They did that, right?
They did that. They're genius. And plus, they've taken that biblical mandate, like he said, what I've heard him say, is that it's your job to raise your kids and educate them. That's what God mandates for you to do.
All right, let's get into it. Let's invite Robert Bortons into the Pirate Money Radio program. You, along with your good friend Alex Newman, who is a good friend of our program, wrote this new book, Woke and Weaponized. Welcome, Robert.
Kevin, thanks for having me on the show. And yeah, I love the pirate money.
We love the pirate money too.
Arg. All right, so we've got this new book out, Woke and Weaponized, How Karl Marx Won the Battle for American Education. I want to stop there. Oh my gosh, what does that mean? We lost out to the commie?
Yeah, we lost out to the communist. So we talk about this in chapters 2 and 3, but let's just look at it statistically, Kevin. Only a third of American children can read at grade level. We're spending somewhere between $18,000 and $20,000 a year per student in the public school system on education. We have, according to Barna, less than 3% of children have a biblical worldview, and less than half of children, I believe, now are raised in a single-income home without a father. And here's a quote from a guy named Robert Owen. He actually preceded Karl Marx. He preceded Dewey. He preceded Horace Mann. But he was a collectivist industrial reformer in Indiana in the 1820s. He founded a commune, and he said that we needed communism or collectivism because there is a trinity of the most monstrous evil that could be combined to inflict mental and physical evil upon his whole race. And he identified this evil as private property, Christianity, and marriage. And so since the introduction of the public school system in 1900 to the 1950s throughout the United States, as long with two world wars, we no longer have a Christian society, we no longer have marriage, and we no longer have literacy. And so that's why we say Karl Marx won the battle for American education.
Well, I've got the book here, The Naked Communist, that was written in the 50s by Cleon Skousen. They talk about the 45 goals of the Communist Party USA. One of them was to capture the education systems. But, Ronnie, did you just hear what Robert just said? They hate private property. We just taught a course.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But it was originally property, which is the...
Right. John Locke. Yeah. Life, John liberty, Locke. Property. God created property. God created individual stewardship of property, and then he made us stewards of it for, you know, that is the rock bottom bedrock of economics from a biblical standpoint. It's also capitalist economics, but that is right. That. And Robert, you're telling me that Karl Marx and his predecessors wanted to eliminate property.
Yeah, because they wanted to eliminate Christianity, and they wanted, instead of people to look for God to be their provider, they wanted the state to be their provider, because if the state was their provider, then they could mold society after their own worldview. And of course, what did we say? What was the very first temptation to Adam and Eve? Did God really say? What was the temptations that the devil gave to Jesus after his 40 days of fasting? Look at all these things. I'll take care of you. You don't have to worry about God. And so our humanity, I mean, just look at the Israelites in the desert. They'd have God in front of them in a cloud. And as soon as God left, they're making golden idols. And so it's just in our nature to want to make ourselves God instead of following the rules that God has. But Jesus said, build on a rock, don't build on shifting sands. And our society is built on a shifting sand right now in our public school system.
Well, it's all about the degradation of the family, hence the degradation of society. And that's what Classical Conversations is doing, is trying to rebuild all that from the Christian worldview, which is the best of the best.
It's a biblical.
It's serving Jesus.
You start off with the notion God created the heavens and the earth. And no, he didn't. And God made them male and female. No, he didn't. There are 72 types, and maybe 107,000 right. types. Well, God made marriage between one man and one. No, he didn't. I mean, it's everything from Genesis to Revelation, the satanic communist worldview. I've got Marx and Satan here by Richard Wurmbrand right. talking about. Right. It is the Devil and Karl Marx by Paul Kengor. Bottom line is, it's an attempt to deny truth. I mean, who's the science here? Neil deGrasse Tyson. I'm sorry. If you're listening, I hope you are Neil deGrasse Tyson. I want to tell you, XX is female, XY chromosome is male, and that's the science. I don't care what you know about the cosmos. If you don't understand that, you don't understand biology.
Well, I like what Classical Conversations are doing, and, you know, fighting back on, you know, this woke and weaponized, you know, terrible stuff. So truth, goodness, and beauty pursued through classical education. That's how CC is transforming families and renewing culture. So thank you, and fighting back.
Well, you helped us raise our kids, but I want to ask this question. I open up the beginning of your book, Robert, and it's got in the preface, it's got what looks like a multi-hour test for eighth graders from 1895. Can you describe a little bit about what an eighth grader knew in 1895?
Yeah, so we picked this test out because this was really before the proliferation of public schools in the United States. And so when people say, oh, my great-grandmother only had an eighth grade education, I'm always like, do you know what that means? It means she had a better education than your master's degree in feminist literature. Like, she was more intelligent. And so, yeah, we have talk about grammar, arithmetic, U.S. history, time, and geography. And so there's about 70 questions or so. It takes about five, six hours. And they ask things like, find the cost of 6,720 pounds of coal at 6 tons per coal. What is the cost of 40 boards 12 inches wide and 16 feet long at 20 cents per inch? Give 9 rules for the use of capital letters. Give the epochs into which U.S. history is divided. I mean, a master's degree student doesn't even know what epoch means anymore. And this is what the eighth graders were supposed to answer from memory, you know, and part of this kind of multi-day test.
That'd be akin.
You know, name and it, go ahead.
Be akin to what our founders knew at the time at
yeah,
that
the
level.
Founders yeah, exactly. were geniuses.
They were genius.
Our founders were geniuses, and the fact of the matter is 98% of farmers could read the letters that they wrote. They would be able to read the Federalist Papers. They could read Shakespeare, these simple farmers versus now our most educated people. I mean, there's high schools that don't even read a single book cover to cover anymore in the United States. We have You can just Google any sort of educational outcome and it's in the pits. And so the more centralized education has become, the more collectivist it has become, the more expensive it has become, and the results have decreased. And we see that in every single collectivist society, whether it's collectivizing healthcare costs, whether it's collectivizing insurance, whether it's collectivizing college costs, that all of these things drive up prices and reduce the quality of the product that's being developed. And so,
and it's absolutely a terrible quality.
It is. All right. We're talking with Robert Wharton. So we're talking about classical conversation, but especially the new book, Woke and Weaponized, that he wrote with Alex Newman. We've got some big questions. I'm going to be asking you from the eighth grade test from 1895 when we get back right after this break.
Every day across the globe, big business agendas go unseen by investors. Things that go against your core values and beliefs. It's time to know your investments. Abortion. Alternative lifestyles. Gender and identity confusion. If you believe in protecting marriage and life, children, innocence, guarding masculinity, restoring families, defending religious liberty, invest with your values. Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
You know, I thought the education system when I was growing up, I thought it was pretty good. But in eighth grade, I'm not certain that I was able to explain why the Atlantic coast was colder than the Pacific in the same latitude, or describe the process by which the water of the ocean returns to the sources of the rivers, or describe the movement of the earth. That's just one part of the geography section of the eighth grade. This is what you had to pass to get out of eighth grade, which is amazing. It did ask the question, what is climate? Upon what does climate depend? And we've got Robert Bortons, the author of this book, along with Alex Newman, and Marty and I were talking to him. They understood climate, an eighth grader did. Now climate's being used as a hammer to take property from one person and give it to another person in the, what is the great climate scam. This book is amazing. As I flip through it, you've described, Robert, how our education system has adopted Karl Marx and communism, and why we must win this back for America to succeed.
Yeah, in chapter 5, we talk about Horace Mann, which I think there's like 100 high schools in the U.S. named after him. And what he wrote in 1867 was, "We who are engaged in the sacred cause of education are entitled to look upon all parents as having given hostages to our cause." And what was that cause? The collectivist worldview. And so that's really what's been going on ever since the public school got started. Like, people don't understand, like, people were privately educated in the United States, and we had like 98% literacy rate up until 1900, and then really 1950. And it really wasn't until the end of this, or during the Second World War, that public school almost became synonymous with being an American. And so it's really only been about five or six generations, and each single generation forgets things the other generation knew. And so it's, things go slowly until they move quickly. And all right, you see that in the stock market, right? A product or a stock will be going sideways for a long time, and then suddenly it shoots up 10 or 20% in a day because suddenly everybody realizes the value that's there. Well, it's been the exact opposite with our public school system. We've had this history of freedom and individual ruggedness, and that's been passed on through each generation, but each generation has kind of forgotten some of the past one, and that's why we get someone like Mondami as a mayor of New York City, as he touts the warmth of collectivism, which, believe it or not, it's not very warm.
Yes, no, and I'm going to jump on that because Mamdani also gave a great speech, great meaning scary, frightening, a horrifying speech in which he said to the New Yorkers and to the Jewish community in New York, with a lot of Jewish people supporting him, and he said, "We must welcome the Islamic stranger as Medina welcomed Muhammad." You know, he didn't go on and say that when Muhammad went to Medina, which is in Saudi Arabia, he literally got the communities fighting each other until he killed them all and beheaded, personally participated in the beheading of 600 of them. So there wasn't a Jew left in the city. And yet, if you don't have a deep conversation,
if you don't know your history,
what did
this
you
is horrifying.
Find in our curriculum about how great Muhammad was?
Well, one page it said how great he was, the good things he was doing, and two pages later, and this was not our curriculum, it was from a school that we were looking at.
Right.
And, you know, he slaughtered, you know, thousands of people, including Jews, and I was like, and then it talked about how great of a guy he was, and I'm like, we are having none of this. And so it just was... It was all kinds of wrong. And it wasn't just Jews. He was slaughtering everyone who was not on his program.
If you don't submit, you must be killed or pay a tax. Those are your choice. Death and taxes are the two choices given to you if you reject Islam, and they're inevitable. But there's a biblical worldview. But, you know, a lot of this does come down to money. And there are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, you can spend it, or you can invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, it's a mobile phone company. They support the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. Marnie, hold up that book. You've got a book there. What's the title of it? What's it say?
Free to Be Wise. Patriot Mobile came out with it about how to use technology wisely for children. It's really good.
It's a good book. And Robert Bortons has got a great program in classical conversations. And he has a great book called Woke and Weaponized. We'll be diving deeper into this when we come back right after this break with Robert Bortons' Classical Conversations.
Gold holds its value far better than the US dollar. Let's see what happens when I go in this sweet shop and pay with gold.
Can I pay with gold?
Find out how much it costs.
Do you know why I'm even using gold?
I do not.
It holds its value over time.
Yeah.
But it's a bit difficult to spend, isn't it? Do you take this?
Yes.
That's MasterCard. Yeah, but I'm actually going to pay with gold, believe it or not, using
really?
This. Using this. That's my MasterCard, and it's linked to my gold wallet. So let's just watch that. Authorizing. Yeah, add a tip.
Thank you.
So this is your store?
Yes, sir.
And how much gold did I pay?
0.2243 grams.
Yeah, success. Bought with gold, paid with glint.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
You know, if you're wondering why it is that our society is struggling and why young people are turning to communism and why they don't see a future and a hope in America, they want to fundamentally change America. The reason is the education system. I don't think there's any better explanation for it. I think it was Abraham Lincoln who talked, you want to know what's going to happen in society, you look at what's being taught in the classrooms. The philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. We have one of the authors of Woke and Weaponized, Robert Bortons, who is also the CEO of Classical Conversation, that's fighting back against this. Robert, your book discusses how government schools have become laboratories for Marxist indoctrination. Can you share some examples about critical race theory or any other progressive ideology and how it clashes with biblical teachings?
Yeah, so they're trying to, again, it's all about worldview formation. And, you know, like we said in that last, that these are hostages to our cause. And so for like critical race theory, they're trying to take these ideas that like root themselves in Christian and Judeo values and just change them by 1 or 2 degrees. So like equity, right? It sounds good, not really a Christian value, but it's a close derivative of it. And so what they use social emotional learning for, they're basically what they're trying to do is use the same techniques that we use to train animals, because they view just children as animals, as a way of manipulating children's behavior so that they act properly in society, as well as so that they will be conditioned to believe whatever authority figures will tell them. And so it's not about developing personal autonomy or critical thinking skills. It's all about creating an atmosphere inside of the school system where the plebes, the people who are going to be the workers, won't question what management or what the civil authorities are telling them. And of course, we saw the result of that in COVID, where if you raised your hand and said, hey, maybe this is not a good idea, maybe the science actually says masks don't work because we have 11 studies that say that. Why do we think masks are going to work now when there's not been any studies that say that? Suddenly you're canceled, right? And so social emotional learning is this ideology that tries to replace man as a center of the universe instead of God, which is exactly what Satan tried to do in the Garden of Eden.
You know, I've got to share a personal story from this. It just popped in my head in first grade. I loved school. I was a nerd. I did love school in elementary school. And I had a great teacher. I loved her, Mrs. Talley. But in math class in first grade, and we were advanced. She taught us that 5 divided by 0 was 5. And I went home and told my mom, guess what I learned? And mom said, no, that's not true. That's not right. I said, Mrs. Talley says it's right. And she's a professional teacher. And I argued with my mom. And I had this big debate with my mom. You know how I am, yes. Marnie. And then I go to class the next day and Mrs. Talley says, you know, I told you something that was wrong. I said 5 divided by 0 was 5. It's not. You can't divide by 0. Oh, and I had to go back and apologize to my mom. But that was proof that as a young person that we want to believe and respect authority.
Yes.
And we saw the teacher as a greater authority than our parents. Mom was right.
Absolutely.
The teacher was wrong.
Yes. I mean, that's with everything. And they're not going with the mission of CC, knowing God and making him known. I mean, it's incredible the authority we cede to the teachers. And as a kid, that's what we think.
Yeah, and you're...
Yeah, well,
go ahead.
Oh, in the book, we point out that the Soviet Union personally and intentionally chose teachers' colleges to infiltrate the U.S. because they knew they didn't have the military might to combat the United States on a military front, and so they knew they needed to successfully merge the USSR and the United States, as the Ford Foundation president said was their goal, that they had to do that through the teachers' unions and the teachers' colleges so they could create authority figures for a very good return on investment that would then infiltrate the rest of the education big ed establishment.
Well, in no way am I saying that Mrs. Talley was a communist.
Right,
she was
right.
A great teacher, loved her very much. But it does go to this point. They will teach us things that are false in order to take control. I've got the book According to Plan, which is built on an Orwellian theme. Winston, 2 plus 2 equals 5.
Right.
The state says it's 5, but there is an absolute truth. Classical Conversations puts forth that absolute truth. I watched my kids learn it and sing it, which is an amazing
yes.
thing. We're talking with Robert Bortons. We'll talk more about Classical Conversations and Woke and Weaponized when we come back right after this break. I want to know some of those songs, Robert. We'll talk about them soon.
Oh, hi. I'm Kevin Sorbo, and I'm here to tell you about coffee. Well, not really, but I'm going to use coffee to illustrate my point. Here we have several different coffees, each with its own unique characteristics. First, we have instant coffee. This coffee pretends to be coffee, but it's not really coffee at all. It's a fraud. Plus, it tastes terrible. I'm out. Next, we have woke coffee. Their coffee actually tastes pretty good, until you find out that when you drink it, you have to admit that you've oppressed other coffees in the past. Insanity, I'm out. Next, we have Big Tech Coffee. Now, these guys used to encourage folks to share with others what they thought about their coffee. But now, if you say you don't like Big Tech Coffee, they'll take away your coffee pot. I'm out. This brings us to Patriot Mobile Coffee, right? This is one big cup of truth and freedom. There's no fraud here. Patriot Mobile is America's real Christian conservative wireless provider. Patriot Mobile gives back millions of dollars every year to organizations that are on the front lines fighting for our freedoms. Patriot Mobile offers the best nationwide 4G and 5G coverage on the same networks as the other major carriers. So you'll get the same great coverage along with 100% U.S.-based customer support while knowing you are supporting a company that shares your conservative values. Switch to Patriot Mobile today by visiting patriotmobile.com or call 972-PATRIOT.
Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Yeah, Marnie, you're with me. Do you remember when our girls were doing classical conversation? They were singing All the Presidents.
All the Presidents. And then, Robert, get this, timeline, this is my timeline.
Which is funny, but we had classical conversations. One of the leaders here in our area was Elise, who was an American Airlines pilot, one of the pioneering pilots.
A female pilot.
Pilots for America. One of the very first.
Amazing.
And we got to go to a retirement ceremony, which was fun.
Yeah.
And we celebrated that. But Robert, our girls were singing those songs and they learned the presidents that way.
Latin, everything was to music, and it was fantastic.
Kids their age didn't know any of those things, but they learned them by song. I want to know the science behind that, why people do that. And then I've got to brag on our girls. They set the standard in college.
They did. They were educating their peers.
Four point all the way through from one of our daughters at Liberty University. The other one's just excelling. And they're like, how do you know that? How did you learn to understand and write papers?
They were teaching their peers to write well and to do and to annotate and do all these things that they had learned from very, very young age. And they also learned to critically think. And I think they've had to also share how to critically think with some of their peers.
Is there science, Robert, behind this idea of singing the songs? Because one of my dear friends, Miss Joy, would say, name the sermons that you've heard and tell me what you learned. And, name the songs you sang and do you know the words? And they know the words to the hymns.
Yeah.
Is there science there?
Yeah. Yeah, so the brain science is actually catching up with the Bible and classical education, showing that the more that you involve your five senses in learning something, the greater that idea is going to stick with you and you're going to create neurological pathways. And so people always, rote memorization is so boring. I mean, you guys can testify. Singing the songs are not boring. They can either memorize the lyrics to SpongeBob SquarePants or whatever pop hits out there that Disney's pushing, or they can memorize the presidents. They can memorize a history timeline. And so we love to get all five of the senses going in classical conversations to helping them learn. And they don't need to know the specifics, but once they get older and their brain continues to develop and they develop those dialectic logical skills, those rhetorical skills, these things that they memorize when they're children stick with them, and they're able to recall it and pull it back, as well as they've trained their brain to memorize and to learn. And so that makes it so learning other things that are very hard for most people come much easier, because your brain has actually been trained on the tools of learning through our classical conversations methodologies.
It does all come together for them. We saw it happen. I mean, they got to dress up, they got to bake, they got to make plays, they got to learn Latin, which is the base of just pretty much everything. And one thing that I really, really appreciated in those very, very younger years, they were taught to speak from a stage in front of everybody. And so when they're older, they have no fear of boldly speaking or boldly debating, or just the critical thinking skills, the speaking skills, and the debate skills were fantastic.
Well, I remember when we got married and we were talking about different things we can do, you know, what's our investing plan and all the different plans that we had. And you brought to me, Marnie, you said, you know, we need to make some decisions about education.
Right.
And my initial response was, what do you mean decisions? We live in this town, and this is the school district, and this is the elementary school. And he was like, no, we need to make some. I'm so grateful for you having done that research.
Well, we did the research, but that was after you said, Marnie, I think we should homeschool. And I'm like, hold on, what?
All right, you blame me and I blame you.
That's right.
And really, I'm giving you credit because I think you're a genius for putting... Robert, go ahead. You confront this every day. Tell people how they can find classical conversations and so forth and why it's so important.
Yeah, just like you shouldn't passively expect your retirement fund to get there, you shouldn't passively expect the world to educate your kids. And so go into classicalconversations.com. Put in your zip code. We're going to put you in touch with the real human, not AI bots. They're going to work you through homeschooling in your area, connect you with some local communities, answer any questions that you have. So we have about 2,000 communities in the United States. We're in all 50 states. So there should be one within an hour of you, if not within 5 minutes. And if there's not one, we'd love to help you get one started. So classicalconversations.com is the website.
You know what's great? There's a wedding in Alaska that's coming up from one of our friends from Classical Conversations. Some of the greatest friendships that we have come from that. You know, people say, well, you won't get any socialization for your kids. No, it's the exact opposite with classical. You actually build deep and meaningful, long-lasting friendships and relationships.
Yes. I mean, the kids that we were raising up that time are now getting married, having babies, working successfully, being creative and critical thinkers. It is amazing to watch. And yes, those are some of our deepest friendships.
I remember when I came home from a conference and I said, Marnie, you will not believe who I met. I met Lee Wortons.
He did.
He's like a rock star in our home and in homes across the country. If you know what Classical Conversations is and how it's freed people up, it gives you the curriculum so you don't have to work. Well, how would I do? I remember Mike Ferris when I said homeschooling, and Mike Ferris, you said, well, how will we pick curriculum? It's so hard. I don't know what we're going to do. But Classical Conversations has it for you. Tell us more about the program.
Yeah, so we do two things. One, we have a full K-12 program. We actually have college classes now as well. We got moms getting their master's degrees through our partnerships. And so basically, this is what I'm saying, like, a lot of us played Oregon Trail growing up. Classical Conversations has taken thousands, tens of thousands of people to Oregon. And we hire homeschooling moms who are empty nesters to help cultivate and curate our curriculum. And so they've been there and done that. They're providing literally thousands of years of wisdom that are being poured into our curriculum. This is the exact opposite of most curriculums. I mean, the public school curriculums are being written with people who don't have kids, don't like kids, and they're just doing it to manipulate the next generation into believing their worldview. So that's a very unique thing about Classical Conversations, but the most unique thing is our communities. So we actually get together once a week to do academics in a community. Typically groups of 8 to 12 kids in a classroom, typically have about 50 to 60 kids per community. And they are getting together weekly to go over academics, all the course subjects with a trained parent tutor. So that tutor is not just there to help your kids out, but to help answer questions for the moms and dads and to cultivate that community. And so our tagline this upcoming year is homeschool with a human. Our previous homeschool tagline was homeschool with a friend. And that's what really it is about. It's about building relationships. And that's what the Bible's all about, right? We want to have a good relationship with our friends. We want to have good relationships with our church leaders, with our children, and with Jesus. And so, the devil, his entire life has tried to destroy relationships, and it's us as Christians need to be building them up. And so that's what we try to do at Classical Conversations.
Well, I love Classical Conversation, but I want to warn parents especially that with all of these new school choice options that are being created, some of them can be very, very good, and they're parent-driven because God gave the authority to parents to educate their kids. But some of them can be very, very bad, and you turn your kids over and put them on an AI program of some kind without a human, and what you're going to get is not good for your children. In fact, a lot of money is being spent on things like we hear about some schools that are teaching Sharia law, for example, which is antithetical to Christianity, and we're funding our own demise if we're taking that public school money out and we're placing it in places that are bad. School choice can be a bad thing if it's a bad choice.
That's right. That's right. It can be a good thing, but in it also, you know, some people are on the, it gives the government a little bit more look-see into a person's private, you know, home, children, educating.
Well, we saw the public school. We got to look, see, and during COVID, your parents all over got, I mean, that has got to have been a boost for classical conversations when parents saw exactly what their kids were being taught in the public schools. Right, Robert?
Yeah, I mean, we saw a huge growth that next year because of our community aspect, and like states like California were shutting down our communities left and right. So that hurt us that first year. But yeah, we came back with a vengeance, and the amount of inquiries and parents that are choosing homeschooling and classical conversations continues to grow. And it's been, that was the one blessing from COVID, is that it exposed the monster underneath the water that was wrecking our kids' futures that is inside the public school system.
Well, we're so grateful for what you did to help us in raising our children. And we're so grateful for this all comes from God. If you go to the basis of classical conversations or any good educate, we teach truth. Truth emanates only from God. And I think that, you know, a well-educated young person is going to find God and give their life to the Lord. So thank you so much for what you're doing. We've got more segments, more to come. We're going to dive even deeper in Woke and Weaponized when we come back with Robert Bortons. When we come back right after this break, we'll be right back.
I'm outside Babe's, which I'm told is the quintessential chicken restaurant here in Roanoke, Texas. Let's go and see if we can buy the food in here, chicken with gold.
This is gonna be the fried chicken.
This is unbelievable. How am I gonna fill this in? I seriously actually don't know how to begin with this. This is so overwhelming. Do you think I can pay with gold?
I don't know, you may have to ask the cashier. I don't handle it.
Can I pay with gold? But actually, you said I could pay with this? Okay, I'm gonna pay with this, but I'm gonna pay with gold. So look at the price of gold going up. That's pretty cool, yeah? Right, this is Babe's, yeah?
Yeah.
How much gold did I pay? Gold, how many grams?
0.26,
quarter of a gram of gold. How about that?
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
Success! Bought with gold, paid with glint.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, we're talking with Robert Bortons, one of the co-authors of Woke and Weaponized, along with Alex Newman, another good friend of this program. I've got Marnie Freeman here with me, and so I'm grateful to both of them. But I'm also grateful that the support for this program comes from Glint, a financial technology service offering a debit card and mobile app that enables users to access their gold holdings for everyday purchases. With Glint, users maintain ownership of allocated physical gold, which is stored in a managed vault. At the time of a transaction, gold is sold in real time to cover the purchase amount in local currency. Glint offers an alternative way to store and use the value, combining gold and silver with modern payment infrastructure. Glint clients can monitor their gold balance, view transaction history, and manage their account through the Glint app available on major mobile platforms. More details about how vaulted physical gold can be used as money are available at glintpay.com/gold247. Again, that's glintpay.com/gold247. Glint providing access to gold for modern spending. And you know, Marnie, what this reminds me of? We're reading this 1895 exam for eighth graders here in the book Woke and Weaponized that our guest Robert Bortons has co-authored. But it reminds me of a book around 1895. It came a little after that by Lewis Carroll, who wrote, L. Frank Baum. Lewis Carroll wrote Alice in Wonderland. L. Frank Baum wrote
The Wizard of Oz.
And how is that beyond what kids study today?
Oh, well, it's a whole allegory on money, or monetary allegory. And so that's how they taught. The Wizard of Oz book is how they taught kids about the monetary system. It's actually really good.
The Wizard of?
Ounce, O-Z. The Wizard of Ounce, O-Z.
I don't know
follow
if you know
the
this.
Yellow brick, which are gold. Yellow brick
road. Yellow brick road. And what color slippers? Did Dorothy wear?
Well, we all think it was red, but they were silver.
Silver slippers.
So a bimetal system.
I don't know if you knew this, Robert, but originally L. Frank Baum wrote that as an economic allegory at the turn of the century, and he was following the yellow brick road. It was Dorothy woke up in an economy she didn't recognize. Everything was crazy because there was a fiat money system, and they thought the answers were in the Emerald City. And so she traveled with her companion, the Cowardly Lion, the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, and her little dog, Toto. Cowardly Lion was William Jennings Bryan, the politician who wasn't getting the gold standard, adding silver to the gold standard. The Scarecrow was a farmer, the Tin Man was a factory worker, and Toto was the teetotaler party. And they were accosted by the Wicked Witch of the East, which was the bankers. And who did she send out?
The flying monkeys.
Who are the lawyers.
Yes.
And so she stops by the Emerald City, which is the greenback, unbacked paper money, fiat currency. And did she find any power behind the curtain?
None.
The wizard had no really power. The central banks had no real power. You had the answer all along, Dorothy. It's gold and silver. They were teaching very detailed economic concepts in a children's book, and the kids got it. But kids today?
Now we think of Wicked, so...
Wicked is a perversion of the Wizard of Oz. Anyway, you're teaching in classical conversations classical things. And describe some of the things the kids will learn at an early age.
Yeah, as you mentioned, like we do public speaking, like starting in kindergarten. And of course, more Americans are afraid of dying than they are of public speaking, or public speaking than they are of dying. We teach Latin for all 12 years. We do things like science fair. We do things like they draw the globe from memory. That's a thing that they do in seventh grade, and they draw cities. They draw the mountains, lakes, rivers, the boundaries, and they draw beautiful maps. They do things like mock trial. They do debate. They do poetry jams. They do a senior thesis. And so what they're going back, they're reading things like the Federalist Papers. They're comparing like the Constitution and the Magna Carta. So they're reading original source documents, and of course they're reading great literature along the way, and of course practicing science and math. And so we like to say that we're trying to raise scientists, we're trying to raise mathematicians, and we don't want any realm that God gave us as humans should not be locked to us. So if we're prince and princesses in the kingdom of God, we should be have keys to every single room that God put in the house for us to explore.
Is this an affordable program? I mean, man, that sounds like I'm paying the top dollar for the world's best education.
I keep trying to get them to raise the prices. So just roughly, it's about $800 a year for kindergarten through third grade, about $1,500, $1,600 a year for fourth through sixth, and then about less than $2,000 a year each year, seventh through 12th
grade. We're going to cover more of this with Robert Wharton when we come back. Check out classicalconversations.com for more information, and we will be right back after this break.
Washington said paper money opens the door to every species of fraud and injustice. Jefferson said paper is poverty. Hamilton said to emit an unfunded paper as the sign of value ought not to continue a formal part of the Constitution. The founders hated paper money, so they put a pirate money clause in the Constitution for our state to use. Learn more at transactionalgold.com.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and I'm joined by Marnie Freeman, Robert Bortons, the CEO of Classical Conversations, but also the author of a new book, along with Alex Newman, Woke and Weaponized, How Karl Marx Won the Battle for American Education and How We Can Win It Back. And here's Sean Ryan, former Navy SEAL, Sean, host of the Sean Ryan Show, right on the cover. I mean, man, this is big time. If you're a parent, read this book.
Yeah. It's mind-warping, the things you'll find out in it.
Well, here's what I found, and tell me if I'm wrong. The lessons I got here is our education system was hijacked by a demonic influence through Karl Marx and the communists and really demon-led people. And the education should be much better than it is today. And oh, by the way, there is a way out. Can you describe for us, Robert, what's the way out?
Yeah, the way out is personal responsibility. And I love this idea of investing. There's no bigger investment you can make than in your children's education as a parent. And so it's not just up on you. I mean, churches should be starting education scholarship funds. They should be starting or helping to support local Christian private schools. They should be opening their doors to homeschooling co-ops or university model schools so that they can fill their building, right? God doesn't want church buildings empty 5 days a week just because you're in there Sundays and Wednesdays. So it's businesses. They should be starting education funds for their employees so their employees can send their kids to private schools or homeschool their own kids. And so it starts with, like anything, personal responsibility. And that's where God put it. I mean, God's very clear in the Bible, as you guys mentioned, that it's the parents' responsibility to educate their kids. Of course, you can outsource that or get other people to help you with that. But ultimately, you become like your mentors, right? Jesus said a student's going to become like their mentors. That's why these AI and computer screens are so dangerous. Do we want our kids to become like a plastic box or like, Apple's worldview or Microsoft's Bill Gates worldview? Of course we don't. And so it starts with personal responsibility. It starts with, churches helping families like they ought to do and for local businesses to start stepping up and helping out, because these are going to be your customers and these are going to be your future employees. And so it would not be wise to continue to let them go to the failing public school system. And so, those are a couple of ideas. And we got two chapters at the back of the book that lay out all sorts of different ideas. That's one of the unique things about our book. There's been so many that I've talked about the dangers of the public school system and the worldview that it's founded upon. And we've expanded upon that in the book. But one of the things I'm most proud of is the last couple chapters really lay out what churches can be doing, what local communities can be doing, and what individual families can be doing to get their kids out of the system.
It's actually very doable. You just have to work through that. And I thank you for the ideas in the book.
Yeah, well, one of the concerns that I have, and we've just got a couple of minutes before we got to go, but I'm worried about a Christian Learning Center. And if you know what I mean by that, there's a lot of scams, a lot of people trying to take the money. They get it for the money, and they don't give a biblical worldview. And I'm worried about some of these school choice issues.
Yeah, so we talked a lot about school choice, where that actually came from, what's the worldview behind it, why it's a collectivist worldview and not a Christian worldview. And, I'm for choice. I'm for people having different opportunities. But the state sanctioning of our tax dollars going elsewhere is not just a slippery slope. It's a proven detriment to society. And we have a whole chapter on Sweden, which had school choice for 19 years, and then they outlawed homeschooling and they outlawed every single curriculum except for the state sanctioned one. And it was because everyone was relying on the state dollars to fund it, and it wasn't relying on personal charity or personal hard work. And so, there's a lot of issues with it, and we lay them out. We lay out good school choice policy in the book and bad school choice policy. So it's not that we're against the state altogether, but we think there's better ways to create a free society than some of these ideas that are being tried. And yeah, in the state of Texas, they're funding Muslim Learning Centers with conservative dollars right now and Islamic terrorist institutions.
Yeah, so there's two dangers. One, no strings attached, which is a danger, because then you can end up educating in bad things, or too many strings attached. The point is, it's a parent's responsibility. God's given you that responsibility. All right. We're going to have to end here for our viewers on Real Life Network. We'll cover more of this on American Family Radio when we come back after a break. But thank you so much, Robert. Hang on for our bonus segment if you're on AFR. Here's a $10 bill. It's got the picture of Alexander Hamilton on the front of it. You know, it's kind of sad. When I was 10 years old, everything that I could buy for a dollar now costs about $10. That's the cost of inflation. It's just paper. It's not backed by anything. You can't exchange it for gold and silver. You used to, but you can't do that anymore. And that's unfortunate. You know, pirates wouldn't accept this. Pirates, they wanted gold and silver. patriots, the founders of this nation, also wanted gold and silver coin. In fact, they put a provision in the Constitution, 17 words, that said states could only make gold and silver coins tender within the states. That's why I wrote this new book, Pirate Money, Discovering the Founders' Hidden Plan for Economic Justice and Defeating the Great Reset. It will explain exactly the history of money and exactly why gold and silver coins can be made modern with new technology and a useful monetary system. PirateMoneyBook.com.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and I'm joined by Marnie Freeman and Robert Bordens, the author of the book Woken Weaponized and the CEO of Classical Conversation. I want to start with you, Marnie. What are your thoughts? You read through the book while we were traveling. What do you feel?
Well, I just think there's a lot downloaded there that people may not know. And I mean, we're all pretty educated, but there is definitely meat in there and some ideas, some solutions to stop it, you know, to stop this from happening. I also want to say that I had some great teachers when I was growing up in public school, but I didn't learn anything, but there were some good people in those schools. And so maybe we can draw those teachers out to come help us to do classical conversations, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just want to point out that my wife was a public school teacher for 10 years before we got engaged and got married, and she loved her kids. It doesn't matter how good the teachers are. The system is not designed to benefit humanity. I mean, Kevin, would you invest in a company where one manager managed 300 people? No, that'd be insanity. But my wife saw 300 students a day. Like, your heart just can't be big enough to love that many kids per day.
Thank you for that point, and you're right. So thank you for your wife wanting to plant into the kids.
And, you know, speaking of the money and the investment and so forth, one of the things that bothers me about public education is it used to be, it's for the kids. We got to put more money in. It's for the kids. But that is all it's doing is building a bureaucracy. And so much of the money's not going to the teacher or to the classroom or to the kids' education. It's going to this hierarchy that is a bureaucracy that is administratively pouring out a non-biblical worldview. We're wasting, it's for the children.
Well, I think we can all, we've all determined this is a bad investment.
It is. It's like lottery system. Oh, well, we have to have a lottery so we can have more money for education, which means more administrators and so forth. And they build these big education buildings. Classical Conversations has proven that you don't have to own a lot of real estate and have this massive hierarchy to educate your children. All right, Robert, we've got just a minute or so left. Give us, what gives you hope and what's your favorite scripture?
I know what gives me hope is I know the ending of the story, we win. And so I think parents are waking up to this. I think pastors are finally waking up. Until the pastors wake up, I don't know how much hope we have as a society, but they're starting to wake up. And man, favorite Bible verse, there's just so many of them.
How about train up a child in the way he should go? That's one of my favorites.
Train up the child the way they should go. I was trying to think of not one of our cliche ones that we use all the time. Seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added unto you. I know that was one that we heard growing up. It is my favorite verse because we just seek after the wrong things as humans. And you just read it over and over again in the Bible. You see it over and over again in history. When we seek the things that feed the flesh, we become men without chests, as C.S. Lewis says, and we abandon our God who loves us and sent his son to die for us and raise again 3 days later. And so ultimately, if we pursue Christ with all of our heart, soul, and mind, that we will have good outcomes.
That's right. Well, thank you so much, Robert Bordens, for being with us. I recommend your book, Woken Weaponized. Pray for America. Pray for a return to God's principles this year. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. It's Kevin Freeman and Marnie Freeman, joined by Robert Bordens for Pirate Money Radio.
Arrgh.